Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you anticipating God to speak into your heart tonight? Are you expecting something from God tonight?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, God's going to do something. Hey, we've had a great few weeks on Back to the Basics. Let's get back to the basics of being a Christian. Yeah, let's just get back to some fundamental things on what it means to be a Christian and what it means to act like a Christian and speak like a Christian. What does it mean? Let's get back to the basics. And Andy had a great message a couple of weeks ago, and Pastor Ron spoke an awesome message last week about being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I believe we're not just called to exist and take up space here, but we're called to make a difference in this world. And the only way we're going to do that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. I love that Ron said that what separates the men from the boys is someone that's filled with the Holy Spirit, is empowered by the Holy Spirit to do something awesome. And so tonight I want to speak on prayer. Prayer is something so fundamental. It's so basic. It's just what we do as Christians, as disciples, as followers of Jesus. We pray. It's what we do. It's part of our job description. Just like a builder builds buildings, or an architect designs and draws buildings, or a musician writes and plays music, or a bodybuilder, Mitchell, pumps iron. So a Christian prays. It's part of their lifestyle. It's what they do. A Christian that doesn't pray is missing some kapow in their life. They're missing some weight to them. They're just a bit weak. They just don't quite have it if they don't have a great prayer life. It's just what we do. We are called to pray. Jesus expected his disciples to pray. In Matthew 6, verse 5, and when you pray, this is Jesus speaking, then the start of verse 6, but when you pray, then at the start of verse 7, and when you pray, and then at the start of verse 9, this then is how you should pray. Then in Luke 18, verse 1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. It's what we do. Jesus expects us to pray. We're here to pray. You know, we're not just here to do things. If that was the case, God would have said in the Bible, look, here's the task, go out and make disciples, and when your earthly life comes to an end, I'll see you in heaven. Good luck to you, go for it. God bless you. He didn't say that. In fact, the Bible says you need to pray before you go out and do something. You need to get out. Get up in the morning and pray. You need to pray before you do. We're not just called to serve and just simply serve. We're not just called to build. We're not just called to make disciples, but we're actually called to pray before we do that. I love what it says in Mark 1:35. If you'd like to turn there. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, that ungodly hour, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." See, Jesus was called to go out and preach the good news, but he knew he couldn't do it unless he spent time in prayer, unless he spent time in the presence of his Father. Unless he was diligent in his prayer life, he knew he would not be able to do what he was born to do, which is preach the good news and save the world. And so that's why he lived such an incredible life of prayer and not just doing things. You got to pray before you preach. You got to pray before you do. You got to pray before you serve. You got to pray before you get out of your house in the morning and do whatever it is that you do. We're called to pray just like Jesus did. I want to say this. Prayer is a priority and not always meant to be a last resort. Prayer is meant to be a priority and not always meant to be a last resort. Prayer isn't designed for when you're in a crisis and you've got nothing else you can do but pray. You don't wait until something disastrous has happened in your life. Don't wait till you're lost and you're hopeless and you're helpless and you don't know what to do and then you decide to get down on your knees and pray. Don't wait for something tragic to happen, but make prayer a priority. And I think just maybe if we prayed a bit more and prayed before we acted, we'd probably find ourselves in less of those situations. We'd probably find there's less crisis in our life, less horrible things happening, less hopeless and helpless situations in our life if we just chose to pray a bit more. Another way I could say that is prayer shouldn't be left to a stuck-in-the-belly-of-a-fish moment. Now, I'm sure you can all relate to that. Prayer should not be left to a stuck-in-the-belly-of-a-fish moment. If you haven't read the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, God calls, he's got this prophet named Jonah, and God says to Jonah, "Jonah, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it, for its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah, as you know, or if you don't know, he ran in the opposite direction of what God was calling him and asking him to do. In fact, Jonah ran so far away, he hopped on a boat to get even further. And as soon as he got on that boat, a violent storm came and a great wind came upon the sea. And all the people on the boat and all the sailors on the boat began to fear for their life. It was so dangerous, they thought they were going to die. So they thought, well, whose fault is this that a random storm would just come upon us out in this sea? Whose fault is this? And of course, as you read the story, you find out it was all Jonah's fault. He was running away from God. And as he got on that boat, God decided to create a massive storm. And so the guys in the boat, the sailors, they're like, "Jonah, if this is all your fault, what are we meant to do?" And Jonah's like, "Well, you just got to get rid of me. You got to chuck me overboard and this storm will go." And these were guys who were like, "Whatever, we're not doing that. If you're a man of God and we're just about to chuck you over the boat, imagine what God's going to do to us." And so they tried paddling harder, rowing harder. But of course, you know that the storm just got bigger and bigger and it didn't go away and they were getting nowhere and it was getting more dangerous. And so in the end, of course, they chucked Jonah overboard. And as soon as they did that, the storm went away. Now in that time, Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. I don't think anyone's experienced... Colin, no? He was swallowed by a great fish. And in that moment is when he decided to pray. And in the book of Jonah, it has his prayer written out. In chapter 2, verse 1, Jonah says, "In my distress, I call to the Lord." And I don't want to see young people who only pray in their distress, only pray when a crisis has come in their life, that they decide to get down on their knees before God and start to pray. But if we pray beforehand, you know, I just think if Jonah decided to pray before he ran off, I think if he decided to pray, just maybe God would have dealt with the fear in his life. Now, it's pretty scary, I guess, to preach against a whole city of wicked and evil people. I imagine that would be pretty scary. But I just think if Jonah decided to pray and spend some time in the presence of God, God just may have taken away that fear. And I think also if Jonah decided to pray, that just maybe God would have taken away that selfishness in his life. Because as you continue to read the story of Jonah, you find out that he didn't actually want to preach to these people and say, "Repent of all the wicked things you've done." Because he knew they were wicked and they didn't deserve the grace of God. And he knew that if they asked for repentance from God, that he would forgive them and pour out his grace on them. And so Jonah was selfish and he didn't want that to happen. But I just think if Jonah had prayed, maybe God would have dealt with that selfishness in his heart. I just think that if he decided to pray, maybe God would have filled him with a boldness, with a courage, with excitement, with vision, a heart, perhaps, for the people of Nineveh. I think God would have moved in his heart. If he had decided to pray first and then act, he may have ran in the opposite direction, not running away from Nineveh, but running to Nineveh to preach the good news to them. And so I think if we, as Christians, live a life of prayer, make sure that we pray first and act second, then I think we'll find ourselves in less crisis, less horrible situations that just go hopelessly wrong. So prayer should not be left to a stuck-in-the-belly-of-a-fish moment. So tonight, I want to cover the basics of prayer. Let's get back to the basics. And I've got a lot of scripture about prayer and what the Bible has to say about it. And so I want to cover the why should we pray? Why should we pray? I want to cover the where and when we should pray and the how to pray. And so you should get a pretty good idea of prayer after the end of tonight. And I'm sure you already do, and this will just be good stuff. So it's my prayer, actually, that for those that don't pray, that they will begin to pray. And for those that just pray a little, that you'll begin to pray a lot. You'll begin to pray more. And for those people that have lost the motivation or the hope to pray, that I pray you, God would encourage you tonight and stir you up to begin to pray and to refuel that the faith in your heart, if that's you. And so my prayer is that people would pray, that this would be a fruitful message, that people would begin to pray and wouldn't just tickle your ears. Amen?
Yeah.
Awesome. So why should we pray? If God is so amazing, if God's got everything in his hands, in his control, if God is so sovereign, and he actually already knows what we need, why on earth do we need to pray? What is the point of prayer? Well, I've got a few thoughts on that. And the first one is this. We need to make the right decisions in life. And if we're going to make those right decisions, then we need to seek God. We need to spend time in prayer asking him what the right thing to do is. Because we're faced with so many options in life. We're faced with so many decisions. Some are big decisions, some are small decisions. But we need to make sure we're making the right decisions. And the only way we can do that is if we spend time in prayer and seek God. You want to know something? God doesn't make your decisions for you. He doesn't do that. He actually gives you direction, and he'll give you the option of doing what he's called you to do, and then you make the decision to do that. So he doesn't make the decisions for you. We need to make those decisions. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Here's a great scripture. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Those who seek, find, and to those who knock, the door will be opened. I want to encourage you to keep asking, to keep seeking God, because you got some big decisions to make in your life, and you need to make sure they're God decisions, that they're the right decisions. That, you know, as a Christian, there's so many options. In church, there's just so many good things that we could be a part of, so many good things that we could do. But we're not called to do everything. We're called to do something specific that God has formed and fashioned and purposed us to do. And so rather than trying to do everything and doing a pretty pathetic job of it, we need to make sure we're doing the right thing. And to know what the right thing is, we need to pray. We need to pray. There's so many good things that we could do, but we need to make sure we're doing the right thing. Another reason why we should pray. This is pretty cool. So God will give you some good stuff. You know, God's a loving father, and he actually wants to bless you, and he actually wants the best for you, and he actually wants to give you some good things. In Luke 11, 5 to 13, I'll read you another story. Luke 11, 5. Suppose you have a friend, because you don't, but suppose you do. And you go to him at midnight and say, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." And suppose the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And down in verse 11, "Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, if my son asks for an egg, I'm just a little suspicious, will give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" God wants to give you good things. When it comes to asking for direction, God actually wants to give you direction. When it comes to provision, God actually wants to provide for you. When it comes to a job, he actually wants to give you a good job. I encourage my life group to pray for gold, to not just pray for silver, not just to pray for bronze, but to actually pray for gold. God, give me the best. I want the best. I don't God, just give me something ordinary. Just something that'll help me get by, Lord. That's not meant to be our prayers. God, it's give me the best. Give me what you want to, what you've got for me. I want the best, God. I want the gold, Lord. And he'll give that to you. God, I pray for an awesome wife. Oh, Lord, I pray for an intelligent, a smart wife. God, I ask for a hot wife, that she would just be so pretty and better looking than the rest, God. He answered my prayer. He'll answer your prayer. Ask for gold. Don't settle for silver. Don't settle for second best. I'm serious. When it comes to work, God, I pray for a great job. I just don't want an ordinary job. Lord, I want something that lines up with the talents and the gifts that you've given me, the skills that I have, the passions that I have. You know, God actually wants you to enjoy life and have a happy life. And for that, you need a great job. And I believe God wants to give you a great job, and you've just got to ask for it. And it might take a process of learning and doing other things before you get that job, but God is going to bless you with a great job. Or whatever it is in your life, he will give you vision if you ask for it. He will give you blessing. He will give you help. He'll strengthen you if you ask for it. But you know what? If you don't ask for it, you might not get it. If you just simply don't ask God for good things, then maybe that's why you don't have anything good in your life. I remember when I was 21, leading up to my 21st, I would always talk about the Fender Jazz Bass. I would just mention it in every conversation that I had. My favorite band, U2, the bass player, he played a Fender Jazz Bass. And every time I'd see a band, I'd look out for the bass. Oh, yep, he's got a Fender Jazz Bass. And I'd talk to people. I love the Fender Jazz Bass. I wouldn't shut up about the Fender Jazz Bass. And I think that's why you guys who bought me a Fender Jazz Bass bought me one. So that I'd shut up. Stop talking about it. Here, have one. Now you don't need to talk about it so much. And I think that if we, like it says in Luke, have some shameless audacity, if we're just a bit recklessly bold towards God, God, give me something good. God, I need a great vision. I need a big vision for my life, not just something small. Then just maybe he will give you something enormous. And I think you need to pray for good things in your life and not just okay things, because our God is good and he loves his children and he wants the best for them. Amen? Awesome. Another reason why we should pray. Why should we pray? Well, here's a good one. We need to follow the example that Jesus set for us. Yeah? We're called to follow his example and to become more like Jesus. And so we need to pray like because Jesus prayed. Are you ready for this? Matthew 14, verse 23. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." Matthew 6, verse 46. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Luke 5, verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places, and what? He prayed. Did you know, God, that Jesus is still praying for you? Hebrews 7, verse 25. Because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus is praying and interceding for you right now. Jesus had a lifestyle of prayer. And when I think about it, if God, Jesus is God, if he actually spent so much time in prayer, then we all the more need to spend some time in prayer. If he just spent so much time in the presence of God and seeking God and getting strength from God, then we all the more need to spend time with God, because we're not God and we need God to strengthen us and help us, just like Jesus spent so much time with his Father. And so, in fact, that's probably like, if that was the only reason we needed to pray, that would be enough. The fact that Jesus prayed is enough. And more than enough reason for the fact that we need to pray. He had a lifestyle, as I read earlier. He got up. He was often going to lonely places to pray. And so we need to do the same thing. Another reason why. Why should we pray? Well, there are people who need our prayers. There are people who need our prayers. First, there are those people who are serving God. God, I lift up Tony and Annette in Thailand and their team there. Mighty God, they need your strength. They need your vision. They need your help. They need you to come in Thailand and move in the hearts of those Muslims there, Lord. Oh, God, I pray you would protect them. I pray that you would be their shield and their strong tower. God, I lift up the people in China that are serving you. Lord, those people that are trying to have a public church but are getting kicked out of buildings. God, I pray you would go before them. I pray that you would light the way for them. Lord, I pray that they would have favor with the authorities there so that they can have a public church meeting. God, I lift up Peter and Lisa. What a phenomenal couple, Lord, that just love you passionately. Oh, God, I pray you would be with them. I pray your presence would be in their life, mighty God. They need you so much, and I pray your blessing over their team, God, that you would be with them and guide them and help them, bless their family. These guys need our prayers. As you read the New Testament, you begin to discover how much Paul was praying for the churches that he built. Ephesians 1 verse 15, for this is Paul speaking. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all his people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Philippians 1 verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Colossians 1 verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 2, we always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. 2 Timothy 1 verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you in my prayers. Philemon, I forgot that book even existed. Philemon 4. I always thank God. Thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Paul was just praying so much for the churches because he knew they needed his prayers. And he actually also asked them to pray for himself. He would consistently ask, pray also for me. Ephesians 6 verse 9, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Colossians 4 verse 9, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Paul mentioned a guy in Colossians, Epaphras, if that's how you pronounce it. Colossians 4 verse 12 says, he is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in the will of God, mature and fully assured. Man, he was spending so much time in prayer for people, and he was asking them to pray for him. Why? Because he knew that we need each other's prayers. You need to pray for the leadership of this church. You need to pray for the guys in your life group or the girls in your life group. You need to pray for those who are in your ministry. You just need to spend time praying for them, lifting them up in God. The next lot of people we need to pray for are those that don't know God yet. God, I lift up my prayer of three, Lord. I lift up those guys at work and I pray you would move in their hearts, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you would take off the blindfold around their eyes, Lord, and that they would see the light of the gospel, Lord, that they would see Jesus. God, I pray you would use me, Lord. Use me to lead these guys to you. I pray for faith conversations with these guys. Oh, God, I lift them up in prayer. We need to lift our friends and our family up in prayer. Do you want to see them saved? We'll pray for them. They need our prayers. If we don't pray for them, maybe nothing will ever happen. Or maybe someone else will lead them, which is great. But we need to pray. We need to just spend time in prayer for our friends and family. They need our prayers so much, just like our friends in the church, those people that don't even know God yet. We need to be praying for them. We need to be declaring Jesus over their life, declaring that they will one day be planted in church, serving God with all their heart, worshiping Him with arms raised high. We just need to be praying, 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 believing and knowing that God will do a great work in their hearts. We need to pray for them. So that's why there's a few reasons or a few thoughts on why we should pray, because we need to make the right decisions in life. There's people that we need to pray for. We need to ask God for some good stuff in our life because He actually wants to give it to us. And yeah, our brothers and sisters in Christ, they need our prayers and we need their prayers. And those that don't even know God yet, they need our prayers desperately, just like we did when we didn't know God. So a few practical things on prayer. Where and when should I pray? Because after all, this is a back-to-the-basics message, so we're going to get pretty basic. Where and when should I pray? Well, Matthew 6, verse 6. This is a scripture that I love, and it will always challenge me. And Jesus says to his disciples, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is in heaven. Go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is in heaven. I think what Jesus is saying here is that you need to be in a place where you're not going to be distracted at all, where you can give God your full attention, that you can focus on Him and not be distracted by anything else. I've found that for me, a lesson that I've learned, that I normally pray better. In fact, I pray when I'm awake. And so if you're falling asleep while you're praying, it's probably not that effective and it's probably not that good. And so for me, when I used to pray just before I went to bed and sort of drifting in and out of sleep, Lord, I pray for whatever it is. It's probably not the best way to pray. I found that being awake helps me in my prayer. And maybe that might help you, but it certainly helped me. And so now I've set a time in the mornings. I will pray in the morning because I know I'm going to be awake and probably more awake than I am at night. And you've got to plan it. I've found if you don't plan it, then it's just not consistent and you probably won't do it as often and it just won't become a discipline in your life. You've got to plan it so that you'll do it. I find that praying in front of a TV is probably not a good idea. Praying while you're watching YouTube clips doesn't really help either. So I love what Jesus said, go into your room, go away from people, get into that secret place where it's just you and God and pray. Just speak to God. How often should I pray? Well, let me ask you this question. How much do you want to see your friends saved? How much do you need direction in your life? How much help and strength do you need from God? When you can answer that question, then you start to think, oh, I better pray a lot because I need a lot of direction and my friends need my prayers. They don't know God yet. In fact, in Ephesians 6, verse 18, it says to pray on all occasions. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says to pray in every situation. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, it says pray continually. I think when you've got a heart for something, you'll pray for it a lot. So you need to get a heart for whatever it is. And if you don't have a heart, then you probably won't pray as much, yeah? So, stay awake. That always helps. Actually means you're saying things. I've also found that when you pray in your head, it just doesn't work for me. Maybe it works for you, and that's great. But your mind just goes in all different directions. So I want to encourage you to get into a quiet place where you can pray out loud and not distract other people and actually make sense in your prayers. Because I find when it's in my head, I can go from praying for my friends to thinking about something completely different in the matter of a second. It's just, I don't know how my brain works. Yeah, so when and where to pray. So how should I pray? You've said all this cool stuff on prayer. How do I do it? Jesus gives us a great example in Matthew 6. It's called the Lord's Prayer. That's what people call it. This is the prayer. Now, as I read it, you're probably going to say or think, well, I'm not going to pray that. It sounds a bit weird. But it gives us a good model of how to base or how to structure our prayers. It says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There's a great structure in that that will help you to pray more effectively. And I was reading up on prayer, and this person just sort of laid it out with words that all started with P. So first start with praise. Praise God. And I find even if I'm not sort of sticking to that structure, I always start by praising God. Then begin to pray His purpose. Oh God, I pray your will be done. I pray for the salvation of my friends. I pray that the church would just grow and you'd bless this ministry and you'd just move and you'd move in Thailand, in Hong Kong. Pray His purpose. Then it's petition. God, I ask that you would provide for my needs. The next is pardon. God, I ask that you would forgive me. So I'm really like summing this up, making it very short. God, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. And protection. Lord, protect me. Protect me from all the evil, all the temptations that are out there that are going to get me off track. Lord, I pray you'd protect me from them. And I love to finish by praising God as well. Something else that I've done in the past and found it really effective and really powerful was to actually pray scripture. You can actually find a scripture in the Bible and you actually pray that and declare it over your life and other people's life. For me, Colossians 1, verse 9 to 14 was a very powerful scripture that I pray every day for myself and Liz. And I found that great, just declaring that prayer and praying that over us. Something else you could try, I've tried it. It wasn't that great for me, but you could write out your prayers. Now, I had to do that for Bible college last year, and I found that I couldn't write as quick as I thought, so I just felt like I was slowing down or something, and it just wasn't really effective for me. But it might be effective for you if you're a bit, you're starting out and you're finding it a bit hard to talk out loud or and say something to God. You could try just writing out your prayers, and that might be so effective and so powerful for you. Something else, write out your prayer points. I found that you get overwhelmed by all the different prayer points, that all the different things that you could pray for. And you just get so overwhelmed by them that you don't pray for them. But I found if you just write it out, you're like, oh, that's it. I can pray for that. I can do that. And it just makes it easy. A couple of things to remember when you pray. This one comes from Matthew 21, verse 21. Okay. Got to find it now. Anyway, Jesus, you need to pray with faith and anticipation. You need to pray with faith. Jesus was teaching his disciples that you need to pray with faith. He actually said to them, if you pray that this mountain would move itself and chuck itself into the sea, it'll actually do what you say. And so I believe that we've got to pray with faith. We've actually got to believe in what we're praying for and pray anticipating God to move, anticipating God to come and provide for whatever it is, for God to save your friends. You've got to anticipate it. You've got to expect it to happen. And when you expect it to happen, God's going to do something awesome. And something else to remember when you're praying is you just got to be honest and be real and don't try and impress God with your words. You don't need to impress him. You don't need to come up with some really cool saying or cool way of praying for something. You've just got to be real and honest. And that's why a good reason to go into your bedroom and just close the door, it's just you and God. There's no one to impress. It's just you being completely honest with God. So remember to pray with faith. Believe what you're praying for. Anticipate God to move. And pray honestly. And make it real and genuine. The band can come up now. I want to finish with this great scripture from James 5, verse 13. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Don't ever give up praying. Do not ever give up praying. Oh God, my friends, they're just not coming to know you. I'm not seeing anything happen in their life. Hang on, James 5, verse 13. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God, you still haven't provided for me. I've still got all these needs, Lord. Are you ever going to do something? God, it just seems like you're not there. You're not doing anything. Hang on, James 5, verse 13. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God, it just seems like you don't even exist. I just can't even sense your presence with me when I pray. Hang on. James 5, verse 13, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Do you know you don't have to base your prayer off emotions, but base it off Scripture. What does the Scripture say? Well, pray that. You might not be feeling like it, but that doesn't matter. Pray what the Scripture says. James 5, verse 13, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. God, are you ever going to do something? Are you ever going to give me direction? Lord, I don't know what to do. I feel like giving up. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I encourage you to never give up in your prayers, to pray every day, to pray continually, believing God that He will move, anticipating that God's going to come and do something. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you are good, that you are our perfect, loving Father, and that you want the best for us, Lord. God, I pray for those here tonight that don't pray, that they would begin to pray, Lord. That they would begin to speak with you, God, and find that quiet place and spend time in your presence. Lord, for those that just pray a little and don't pray much. I pray that they would begin to pray more and invest more time in the presence of God. Invest more time into lifting up their friends and seeking you, God. And Lord, those that have lost motivation, those who have just lost hope, I pray that you would stir something up tonight, God, in their hearts to keep believing for whatever it is they're praying for. Stir it up, God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, God. Thank you so much that you hear our prayers and that you answer our prayers, God. Hallelujah. Hey, we give an opportunity every week. If you are not right with God, you just don't feel like you're in a right relationship with God. And we give you a great opportunity every week to respond to that and say, yes, God, I want to thank Jesus for what he's done for me, for dying on the cross for me, and I want to come into a relationship with you. And if that's you, I just ask that you would raise your hand so that we can pray a prayer. We're not going to wait for long, but if that's you, you want to get right with God, I'll give you that opportunity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Awesome. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Oh, we honor you, God. Lord, I thank you for those that have responded to you, Lord. And I just thank you that they're committing their life to you. They're receiving the grace that you have for them, that Jesus, you died on the cross for them to save them from their sins, Lord. And we just want to, As a church, commit our lives to you and just honor you and please you every day of our life, God, and make sure that we serve you and seek you every day, God, and live to build your kingdom, God. And I pray, Lord, that we would be prayers, that we would be prayers. We would be people who pray, not just do, but we would pray first and act second. Amen.